A Stop the Cuts protest will go ahead tomorrow, even though controversial proposals to save money in their health service have been put on hold. Our health trust had been looking at ways to save £70 million, but yesterday the Department of Health announced an additional £40 million of funding. The extra money means bed closures and reduction in nursing home packages, for example, among other things, will now not happen. But is this just a sticking plaster? 0330 80 55 55. The Department of Health say severe financial pressures remain and can only intensify. We're joined this morning by the Stop the Cuts campaigner, Sean Harkin. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Vinny.
And Belfast GP George O'Neill. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Vinny.
Sean, just spell this out for us in terms of the significance of the announcement yesterday.
Well, we welcome the fact that funding has been found so that elderly residents here in Derry on the Waterside and Cityside won't be evicted out of their homes, and a number of frontline services won't be shattered as a result of the funding cuts. And first of all, I would like to commend everybody who participated in the campaign to stop the cuts, from the residents themselves, workers, healthcare campaigners, and community activists. I think the people power that was shown really gave expression to the anger and the concern about these cuts. But, you know, it's £40 million in funding, and that's not enough. There's still another £30 million in cuts. And at this point, the health service cannot take more cuts. We actually need far more funding. And that was very much the message that was sent to the Trust Board through the consultation process. And then it's also the case, I mean, I think Richard Pengelly, the permanent secretary of the Health Department, has questions to answer. Why was this consultation held at all, when they knew that this money was floating about?
Well, why do you think it was held, Sean?
Well, I think that people are playing political football with people's lives.
Explain what you mean by that.
There's a whole number. I mean, there's a political impasse here in the north. So people like James Brokenshire, Secretary of State, civil servants in Stormont departments who, as we know, are unelected, permanent secretaries, are trying to push things in a certain direction. But the problem is that they're look at the level of worry and concern and trauma that they've created for people all across the north by threatening to push through these cuts. We talked to residents in Rectory Field and the William Street care home.
Let's be fair.
People who are in their 70s, okay. 80s, sometimes 90s. And their lives are thrown upside down.
I understand that, Sean, but there are a lot of questions around your suggestion. For example, you know, where are you going to get money from? You're calling for more funding. If the cash isn't there, you know, where are we meant to take that from? Particular services, cut back, cancel, close hospitals? And then as well, when it comes to the department and that money, the department can't plan finances on the basis of speculation or hopes, or I'm nearly sure we're going to get that money, so let's plan to spend it and hope that it comes through, otherwise we're going to be in trouble.
Well, Vinny, we reject this idea that there's no money. I mean, look, I'm reading in the newspaper today that there is a potential overspend now of £700 million in RHI. Why can't there be a healthcare overspend? We also know that Theresa May was able to find £1 billion after she shook the magic money tree.
I don't think we've had any of that money just yet, though.
But the issue is, people keep on saying there's no money, but there is money, and it's a question of what the priorities are for our society.
I know, but when we talk about priorities, is it not ridiculous to try and suggest finances on overspend and how we provide and we spread money around?
Look, if you look at our block grant, right, hundreds of millions are taken out of it every year immediately to pay for private finance initiatives. £5 billion is going to private companies because of a disastrous policy that Stormont developed. So this is money that is wasted that should be going into our public services. So there's lots and lots of money, but the issue here is there has to be a people power campaign that changes the way politics
okay.
is done.
George O'Neill, go ahead.
Our political representatives accept this argument.
Okay, Sean, let's just bring George in for now. George, go ahead.
Vinny, I think this is a wake-up call for all of us. I think it's churlish to say that this isn't good, the fact that £40 million has been found. And my experience in the health service, I've been about a long time. There's lots of good people all working very hard, from the permanent secretary down to those at the coal face, trying to improve it. We have got a shortfall in funding. Now, if you look at project into the future, just to stay steady, that's just without anything new, any new drugs, any new treatments, 18-19, we need 400 plus million. If you go to 19-20, we need almost 700 million to stay steady. Bengoa pointed out, if we keep on going the way we're going, spending the way we're spending, we will end up, all of the block grant will be spent on health and social care. This will require everyone in the service, everyone in society at large, to change how we behave. And we've got to look at, Bengoa talked about the four Ps. Healthcare should be personalised, preventative, participative and predictive. Now, I think bodies like Sean's are very important because we have to get the population at large to participate in what they see as important in relation to their health, how we can prevent and how we can promote a prevention and health promotion. We spend less than 2% of the budget on that. We've got to look for leadership. We've got to look for risk takers. Now, not to be reckless, but we've got to look for people who are willing to put their hands up and say, we got it wrong, we got to move on and change. Bengoa came up with 14 recommendations. There was a response from the politicians, and the 18 time-specific points that O'Neill came up with are hopefully in the process of going to be implemented. So what we need, Vinny, we need a cultural change as how we approach health and social care. For the population at present, and I'm part of the population, this is our health service.
Okay.
We look at it, hold on to finish. We look at it like the people want things done for them and to them. We've got to start and look to do things for ourselves to improve our health, to prevent disease. Oh,
George, that's easy to say. But if you're sitting on a waiting list now for a hip operation or something that you've been on a list for a long time, that's not going to make them feel any more comfortable.
I'm not suggesting it will, but we've got to look at the long term. And we've got to look at how we can make the system more efficient, more effective, more responsive. We have a structure which was developed over 100 years ago. We have a system 100 years old.
Okay.
It needs to change dramatically.
I just want to
the outcomes for those who use it.
Okay.
That's not happening.
I just want to pause you there for 1 second, George. I'll come back to you in a second. Just a bit of breaking news now. The PSNI have confirmed that they have received a complaint following the Spotlight programme on the Social Investment Fund on Tuesday night, and it is currently being reviewed. So that's from the police. The Chief Superintendent, Tim Mayer, said that police can confirm that a complaint has been received following the programme, and it is being reviewed at present. George, to come back to you and the issue in terms of the cuts.
Can I maybe respond to Sean? Sean's group, really, we have to look, we have to involve the population and how they see health and social care to be delivered in the future, how they can make things better.
Okay,
example,
but let's be specific, George. Let's be specific. We're talking about changes. So do you, for example, think we maybe need to close hospitals or A&E services in certain areas?
What we need to do is we look at how we deliver the service to the population at large, how we can improve the outcomes, how we can hone the skills of the experts we have to improve the outcomes. And it may very well be, and I wouldn't use the word close, we reconfigure.
What does that mean now, George?
Well, what it means is instead of having, for example, the stroke discussions we're having at present, the last figure I looked at, I think it was 11 or 13 different units offering stroke services. What we need are two or three offering gold standard services with excellent outcomes. We've got to go out and explain to our population, if you want a good result, this is what you have to
do. So is there one you would have?
We're not going to close anything. What we should do, Vinny, is we should reconfigure how we use the resources we have and how we use the skills
we
have.
You've just said, though, George, you want to go from 6 stroke services down to 2. So that might suggest, if you read into that slightly, that you're suggesting some kind of closure somewhere.
No, I'm not. Did I use the word closure?
No, you didn't.
I didn't. You're using the word closure. What I'm saying is that we've got to look at how we can improve the outcomes for the population at large. And we do know, and the evidence is there, if you're admitted to a stroke unit, all singing, all dancing, your mortality rate drops by 30%.
I understand
that. The outcome is the morbidity, that's the long-term effects, are significantly reduced. Now, that's the sort of conversation we have to have.
Well, Sean, there is a stroke unit up by where you'll be campaigning tomorrow.
Look, do you
agree with what George has said?
I think we all want to see an improved and modernised health and social care system. And I think George is absolutely right. We need a lot more investment into preventative care. Healthcare costs, because we've got an ageing population, are going to grow. But I think people are often worried when they hear modernisation that it is about pushing through hospital closures, closing down A&E wards and so on. And I don't think that should be the way that we go about reforming the healthcare system. I think what we need to do is we need to actually include the people in the areas where there's discussions about what kind of health service, how do we improve the delivery. So it's not a bunch of bureaucrats just saying to people.
No, but I guess it's difficult whenever you do.
We're closing your A&E ward.
I guess it's difficult, Sean, whenever we're talking about something like health. People, it's obviously very personal to people. It can get much more personal when we're talking about how we'll fix you if you're not well or your loved one. And it gets very difficult then to separate that from budgets, constraints, and maybe some difficult decisions that have to be made.
Well, the problem is, see, a lot of these discussions are framed on the basis that there is no money, right? And this is, I think, something that the Stop the Cuts campaigners and many people, trade union activists, community activists, reject. We are constantly told, again, there's an ongoing mantra about there's no money, but there's an ideological component to the way that this is being put forward. It's clear that the Tories want to destroy public services. They are interested.
Well, they would say that they don't.
Well, I know they do, but the reality is if you look at what's happening to the health service across the water, if you look at what's happening here, there's creeping privatisation. There's privatisation and more privatisation because the Tories want to help a small number of people set up for-profit healthcare in order to make millions.
Well, they would, of course, deny that. It's a difficult argument you're making, Sean, and I'm sure that you...
I think it's straightforward, Benny. I mean,
yeah, but just saying we need more money, and if the government tells us there is no more money, we don't believe them. Like, where do you go from that impasse?
Why would we believe the Tory party when they say that there's no money? When Theresa May told people across the water there was no money, and then people were shocked to find that she pulled £1 billion out of the back...
Well, once again, we still haven't seen any of that money.
Yeah, but the point is that she has committed the £1 billion. So why couldn't that have been £2 billion? Why couldn't that have been £3 billion? And I think if you look at the kind of proposals Jeremy Corbyn's bringing forward across the water about reversing the privatisation of public services and actually putting much more funding into our public services, that's exactly what we need.
Although it is, to be fair, Sean, it is easy to say those kind of things whenever you're not actually in power and don't actually have to make the decisions that might lead to cuts elsewhere or move money around. It's, you know, in terms of a proposal. George, are you buying anything from Sean here?
The four P's, remember what I told you? Bengoa, personalised, preventative, participative and predictive. I want participation of the population at large. And can I say one thing, Vinny, before we go? If you get a letter from your GP inviting you in for your flu jab, go and get it. That will help the health service. It will reduce the demand on the services if we all go and get our flu jabs.
Okay.
Well, I'll be going to get my flu jab.
Do you qualify for a flu jab, Sean? I thought it was you had to be over a certain age.
Well, I'll be going to get it wherever I need to get it. but, you know, I do want to encourage people to come out to the protests that are happening across the north tomorrow. Because, you know, we've talked about the 40 million, but there's still 30 million in cuts. And many of those cuts are going to directly impact people. They said these are not the most controversial cuts or high level. But I think the devil's going to be in the details. And I've already been talking to disability campaigners who are very worried about what's contained in the 30 million cuts that the Department of Health and the trusts are saying are going to go forward. So I think it's very, very important that people come out to the protests that are still planned at the extraordinary trust meetings that are being held on Friday.
Well, we're being told, just to go back to, obviously there's the 30 million of cuts and then there's the difficulties we're going to face in the next few years. We're being told that there are still severe financial pressures and that they will only intensify. Demand for health services is growing. You mentioned people getting older, living longer, chronic conditions increasing, and then the need to spend money on the likes of new drugs and technologies. So the estimate is just over 1 billion in pressures in the next 2 years, and that's just to maintain things as they are. So it's a very stark message, George, that's coming out to the public, and it won't make them feel any more comfortable if they're currently on a list waiting for an operation.
But we've got to explain what can be done, how we can change it, how we can improve it. And certainly there is scope for a more effective, more efficient, more patient-facing, more public-facing service. We've also got to look at the other determinants that decide your health and well-being. Remember, what we spend of the block grant, almost half of it delivers only 18% of your health and well-being. That's what the illness service delivers. We ignore all the other social determinants at our cost. Okay. We've got to get joined up thinking. We haven't got it at the moment. Everybody sits in their silos. So my plea is for leadership, risk takers not to be reckless, for people to put up their hands and say we got it wrong and start again. Let's see, can we develop that?
Dr. George O'Neill, thank you very much. And Sean Harkin from the Stop the Cuts campaign, thank you as well.